So you want a job. Guess what you got to do? You got to give your name, don't you? You got to give your address. You got to give your birthday. How about this? Your social security number. But then they might want to know what kind of work you're going to do. If you want to be a garbage collector, and I know one that didn't even need a high school diploma. Or say you wanted to have a managerial job. That might take a college degree. Although I have a lot of things to say about it, and I won't say that. But say you want to be a brain surgeon. You might have to come with qualifications that's even beyond that. But I'm going to use a part of the scripture today that is so imperative to who we are. This is what Paul wrote to his friends at Colossians. All things were created by him, and you are part of that. All things are created by him. Guess what, my beloved? You are created by God. Now, you're created by God. What does that mean? What is the first thing and the epitome of everything? I want to just share something with you. I will probably end up having each one of you hate me for this sermon, which is okay. I'm an ordained minister. I know what hate is about. And it's not necessarily hate. It's because I hit you right where you should be. There's a program that my wife and I get to see once in a while, and it's called Family Feud. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
It's not about really Family Feud. But I'm going to talk about your family. Every family has fractures in them. You don't want to hear that, do you? You know what that means? That there's things that don't really go as a family. People are human. I remember there was a couple of my congregations, we're in my congregation. The woman was a member of the parish, but her brother wasn't. And they never talked. They never talked. They had kids that talked and went to uncle and aunts. And one day, one of the kids kind of, why don't your father and my mother, why don't they go to a party together? Let's go ask them. And they went, and they asked his mother, why don't you go to see your brother? I don't know. I don't know. And then one of them said, we had a fight years ago. And all we know is that we don't be in each other's. I'm going to talk about family feuds. Scriptural. You ever had that feeling about that family person you really don't like? And because he's in the family, there's no alternative? Let's go into scripture. And I could spend lots of sermons just on part of it, but I'm going to make it fast for you. You ever remember a guy by the name of Jacob in the Bible? He had two wives, two concubines. I could speak a lot about concubines, but I won't do that. Because this is very long. And Jacob had 12 sons. And at one time, I could name them. At one time in my ministry, I could name them. I'm going to try, but I won't make it all. Reuben was the oldest one. He probably had more brains than all the rest of them. That's my opinion. And then there was, after Reuben, Simeon. Then there was Levi. Then there was Judah. Then there was Dan. Then there was Naphtali. Then there was Gad. Then there was Zebulun. Then there was Issachar. Well, I always called Izzy. And then there was, I said Zebulun. And then there was Benjamin, and then there was Joseph. And Joseph was what I call the spoiled brat of all of them. You know why? Jacob had him when he was an old man. Didn't know he was going to have a kid. He had a kid. And it was Joseph. And he loved Joseph so much. And you know the song. He gave him a coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him. because Dad showed favoritism to what? So you know what you call that? You call that a schism. And it goes to the highest level. I'm sure you have your brothers and sisters and relatives, and we're talking about that conflict in family. Okay, I'm talking about that today. How many of you guys have 10 brothers and 10 sisters in your family? There's nobody here. So this is why I'm using this as the extreme. Because within the extremes of left and right, you and I sin. You understand that? We are in this extreme. We might not have 10 brothers or 10 sisters, but we're in it. The scriptures wants to complete, so nobody is outside this illustration. I don't know of anybody that has 10 brothers or 12 in a family. I really don't know. I had some big families in my life, but not that. But anyway, remember what they did? They saw Joseph coming. There's that brat. Dad's not around, let's kill him. Oh, no, rooms are not. No, don't. We can't do that. Smart guy. So they throw him in a cistern. You know what happened. Reuben goes off for breakfast or whatever it was. The others take him out, throw him out, and they sell him. They sell him. They got money for their brother. Can you understand that? Do you understand where I'm going on this? You guys know it. But you know what? God works miracles even when our brains can't even comprehend that. God is working a miracle. Do you remember the rest of the story? You know it. You know what Joseph did to his brothers that you and I have to do in our families? We have to learn to forgive our brothers and our sisters. And you know what? God calls us to do that. He doesn't call first for us to pay our tithe. How many of you ever connected a church with impudence? You ever hear that? I was taught that by Father Drilling. Great smart guy. Wow, great guy. We loved him dearly, didn't we, Mom? He was a really great guy. And he said, if his members don't come up with their pew-dos, he says, I have to write him a letter and tell him about it. We're not talking about pew-dos. We're not talking about health. We're not talking about wealth. We're talking about the highest calling that you and I have been called by God. It's the highest calling. You know what that is? To forgive. That's the highest. We are called by God and for God to do God's work in this world. Forgive. That's the hardest problem we got. And it's so hard to forgive. Now, years ago, when I was a pastor, I keep saying about that, Darren, you got to forgive me. You know where I got a lot of my material for my sermons? From my parishioners. From them! How does it work? They hear the gospel, it filters in, and they go out into this world, and they do it. Can you imagine that? The gospel fills these people, and they go and do it. Let me tell you about a woman in my congregation. You know who she is. I won't tell her name. She was a very faithful Lord, a servant of the Lord. Years ago, I think it was about the year 1948, her son was coming home from the barn. He was killed. They took that dead body and put it on her couch for 12 hours because the coroner couldn't find her house. She lived out in Colvin. Fast forward that moment. She conceives a son, and guess what? He grows up and wants to marry the niece of the guy that killed her son. I was at that wedding that day, at the reception, and my parishioner was sitting at the table of the guy that killed her son. They didn't speak at all. He remembered that. He remembered that moment. And so did she. I'm sitting next to her. She grabs my hand and she says, "Watch this, Pastor." She reaches over, touches his hand, and says, "I forgave you years ago. Don't have to worry about it. I forgave you years ago. Years ago. By the time we left at reception, they were laughing. Only because of one thing. You get it? What? Forgiveness. You understand that? Remember I told you I get a lot of my information from my members? I'll tell you a story that's it's going to be unbelievable. I know it's going to be unbelievable. Doorbell rings. It's a friend of mine. I wanted him to join the church. I asked him many times. He says, I don't want to join anybody's church. I said, why? He says, I feel anything you can say about Jesus Christ has already been said. Every sermon has been written that you can elevate. I said, you're right. Have you heard them all? He said, no. That's why you should be church. But he rang the doorbell. I opened up the door. He said, Pastor, I got a favor to ask you.
What?
My wife and I are getting a divorce. Don't worry about me. You got to be with her. I want you to promise me you'll be, she will need you. Don't worry about me. I'll take care of myself, but you make sure that you are with my wife, my former wife, please. Fast forward that. He divorced. He married a gal 25 years younger than him. I was at their birthday. He was 75, she was 50. Really great. But anyway, his wife married another guy, and I officiated at that. She calls me up one day, and it wasn't the winter. And she says to me, she says, Pastor, you'll never guess what Jim and I did last night. I said, what did you do? She says, oh, I'm so happy. I got to tell you this. It was snowing. The snow was coming out. We went out in our front yard, laid in the snow, and made angels. She was so happy. Fast forward a little bit more. She dies. I officiate at her funeral. I'm going to ask you a question. Who picked up the tab for her funeral? Ex-husband, you're right. Isn't that incredible? Do you understand the gospel is that most powerful gift we've got to say to somebody else, I forgive you. I forgive you. Now I want to tell you about how that is revealed. I'm in a pulpit. We lived in the snow belt area. The snow belt area, when Buffalo got 5 inches and we might got 3 feet. We're in the ski area. They like snow and we got it. I'm in the pulpit this one Sunday. And there's two women who loved me. One was in the choir, the other was out in that thing. And I say to the woman in the choir, I say to the congregation, I said, never worry about me going anyplace in the snow. I'll go get my friend, parishioner number one, put her in my trunk, and I can go anyplace. I said that in front of the pulpit. After the service, parishioner number two, whom I said loves me, you know what she said to me? Don't you ever say that about me. Now, which one loved me? Which one loved me? Now, my question to you is, how much do you love the Lord? You know, loving the Lord, you'll do anything. You will be able to forgive anybody, anything. You will be honest, you will. Why? It's not about that. It's more about Jesus Christ in your life. It's Jesus Christ. Once that Jesus anoints you, calls you, gathers you, feed you, lead you, use it, any kind of word you want, and you're put together. This is what happens. Two people that continue to love, and they love, and they love, and they love, and finally we get to that point. You know what Paul said? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he goes left and right, up and down, principalities, everything. There's nothing. And when you're connected to that Lord Jesus Christ, think of that person that doesn't like you. Think of that person that doesn't like you. I got one last story. It's about me. The woman in our congregation, she would decorate the Christmas tree with chrysanthemums. I don't know if you know what they are. But they were kind of like ornaments, and they all had a meaning of something about Jesus Christ and his ministry. And she loved those chrismons so much. She was the only one that could handle them. She was the only one that could decorate the church tree with them. Nobody. And she would take them home and store them under her bed. And this one time, for one reason, I don't know, I offended her. I can't remember what it was. I can't. I'm not trying to offend her. But anyway, she said to me, in her anger, "You'll never see those chrismons again. I'm in church." So anyway, this one day, I happened to go to Tops supermarket, and I saw her, but she saw me too. She saw me too. She beats down this one aisle, and I go down the other aisle. And we get at the end, and we go like that, and she says to me, "I knew you'd do this." And I went up and I hugged her, and I said, "Hey, listen, I'm a pastor. I'm not perfect. I know I offended you. But I need those chrismons on the tree. Will you please do it?" And guess what she did? Forgiveness works. It may seem hard at first, but it works. My last story has to do with my wife. I am not a perfect husband. I'm certainly not a perfect father. I've given my wife good reason to not forgive me. One time we were going to go to Europe. I've always wanted to go see where Martin Luther started the Reformation. I wanted to do that. But we had a guy in my parish was going to have a heart transplant, not a heart bypass, where you take the heart out, put it over here, put another one in. The first heart transplant in Buffalo, New York. I'm at his bedside, and he says to me, "Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I know you're going to go, you're supposed to be going to Europe, but I'm going to ask you a favor. Will you stay in case I die so you can preach the gospel to my family?" Guess what I did? I stayed home. My wife went along with a neighbor. She got home that day. She said she enjoyed herself. I don't know if that was good or bad. But I always felt that she had the right not to forgive, because we had made something like that. And if I happen to be the husband of a forgiver, this woman is the woman that forgives. You know, we always like to speak a word and then try and define it. You know, like the word forgiveness. You know how I define it? Again and again, without end. Did you hear that? That's the sermon title for today. Again and again. Out. And what do we do now? What do we do, Charge? Were you sleeping? But anyway, no. What do we do? Is there a prayer?